or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, May the 29th, 2005. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chip Hill of Monterey, Virginia, is the minister.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
There's a lot of ministry upstarts out there that want recognition and reputation. They want to be counted one of the big shots. I used to be that way. When I first got saved, I got supercharged under the ministries of Kenneth Copeland and Derek Prince. That was quite a blend, you know. But I got supercharged, man. Kenneth Copeland laid hands on me and Darlene September 1977 in Richmond, Virginia. And that's when we received the impartation to preach. We received it, it was a mantle. It was like the mantle falling down, you know, on us. And we received that to preach, and that's when the ministry just took off like Jackie Joyner. What was out of the starting blocks? What was her name? Whatever her name was. I'll say the other one, Flo Jo. I mean, we came out of the blocks like Flo Jo. Okay? And after that. But I also had this need to be recognized, because as a little boy I was rejected because I was little. The big guys picked on me. Kicked sand in my face, called me punk, half-pint, runt, and all of that stuff because I'm not a big guy. And all through my growing up, I resented people for that. And then when I got to be about 16, I started lifting weights, and I'm a lot smaller now, actually, than I had been in the past when I was lifting. I'm not, you know, every time I'd quit lifting, I'd go back down, you know. I can't keep what I can get through a few months of lifting. All that came out of a need to overcome rejection. Did you know that the worst wife beaters and women abusers in the nation are weightlifters? That is a statistic. You got this great big old muscle-bound guy, and he can just, you know, he's powerful, and yet he knocks the women in his life around left and right because he tried to overcome rejection and feel better about himself by getting big and strong. But he never dealt with the root. And so he's just as nasty and ugly as he was before he got big and strong. You'd be surprised the number of famous weightlifters and bodybuilders who are in jail now for beating their wives up. It's pathetic. Ambition. I don't know why I said that, but there's a drivenness. A drivenness. And if you're driven, you'll become a gambler. You'll not just gamble at Las Vegas, you'll become a gambler in real estate investment. Nothing wrong with real estate investment. But I'm talking about people who really put their neck out. It's all right to invest when you got money to lose. But when you're taking the whole paycheck and throwing it into something hoping you're going to get rich quick and you're leaving your wife and kids without, you've got a problem. And we deal with that often. And it's one of the biggest problems for divorce and marriage. Two more, procrastination. Procrastination is an entry point. That means putting off what needs to be done, putting it off till tomorrow, putting it off till later. But it's often because of laziness and sometimes because of fear. You put it off because you're afraid to deal with things. You put it off because you're too lazy to deal with it. Or you put it off because you're exhausted. Which one was it? It wasn't Trophimus, but who was it that Paul said almost died because he had served so much in one of his letters? I can't remember who it was, but you can look it up later. But there was a guy who, for good purposes, exhausted himself, got sick, and almost died. And so, it might have been. But the main thing is exhaustion can cause procrastination. If you exhaust yourself too much, you're going to leave some important things undone. So you got to keep everything in balance. And then rejection. I'm going to leave it to the expert on rejection over here when his book comes out. Read it. Massive rejection can create massive openings in your wall. Massive rejection often crops out in Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease, every Parkinson's disease person that we've ever dealt with, if you go back into their history a little bit, they've experienced massive rejection. And rejection also is one of the root causes of diabetes. That and the orphan spirit that goes right along with rejection. People that feel cut off, not included, left behind and forsaken, often end up with things like diabetes. But it can come at any reason. But that's a sure way to get it. And then finally, well, I guess that's it. That's it. I want to go back to indecision for a minute and close. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Am I putting you to sleep?
No.
Okay, I want to just wrap this up. I want to encourage you. My last words to you are coming now for the next maybe 15 minutes and then we'll be done. This is my farewell to arms to you until we meet again. Psalm 144. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is the first verse. There's so much in that. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. I like what Jesus said. I cast out the devil by the finger of God. His finger was trained. That speaks of His authority. He knew who He was. He knew what He was called to do. That's all tied into the finger of God. Did you know Jesus cast out demons by the finger of God? So can we. We have the authority. Amen. He trains your finger to fight. I had a woman manifest in our church one night. She had been, she was a German lady, had been in the States for a couple of years, and had come forward to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And her husband was standing beside her, and I laid hands on her. She received tongues, baptism in tongues, and then I went over to him, and as I started praying for him, she fell out on the floor. And he'd never seen that before. And he looked down, and he looked worried, and I said, his name was Tom. I said, Tom, don't worry about it. God's doing something. That's God. That's God. She's being blessed. And she was laying there, smile on her face. So I went back to praying for him. And as soon as I got him going and prayed, baptized in the Holy Ghost, going in tongues, I looked back down at her, and her face had turned from a sweet face to a insidious-looking thing. I mean, her face just kind of like... And the Lord said, cast that thing out. I didn't know what it was, but I just knew He said, cast it out. So I got down there, and I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her, you spirit, whatever you are, come out. And immediately, she got up on her hands and knees, and her eyes opened up, and she came at me growling and trying to claw my eyes out. And it took her husband and a guy in my church who was an elder at the time, who was about 230 pounds, to hold her down. And she was a skinny little German lady. And she was flopping them all over the place. And they were riding her, holding her down. And I'm down on my knees. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, I said. Come out in Jesus' name. For 5 minutes, she fought me and she resisted me. Finally, she let out the most blood-curdling scream that lasted for about 30 seconds and trailed off. It kind of went, ah! And she collapsed like a dead woman. And I said, her husband, he's just... And I said, don't worry, she's all right. And I got down and I said, I'm not going to say her name because, you know, never know. I don't want to get sued. But I said, Jesus Christ has set you free. Jesus Christ has delivered you. And a beautiful smile came across her face. So she sat up and she was in a daze. You know, you go through that kind of battle inside. And then the Lord spoke to me and He said, get witchcraft. And I said, I'm not done yet. You spirit of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And again, she went, distorted, and which you all have seen 100 times. But that battle lasted about 3 minutes before that thing came out. And finally, it was done. It was out. And her husband told me, her grandmother was a gypsy fortune teller in Germany and taught her everything she knew. Well, you should have seen it when her husband came for deliverance about 2 weeks later. He was a full-blood Sioux Indian. And we started when we got through pre-deliverance counseling in our living room, and then we started ministering to him, he went into an Indian rain dance or something. And we couldn't get him focused. But after a good fight, we got him free. And the spirit, the strong man that we got out of him was named Thunderbird. So he trains our fingers to fight, because I can remember sticking, I almost had that finger up her nose. Come out in Jesus' name. Yeah, dig it out. It says he trains our hands for war. Did you know that every time, picture this, every time you lay hands on the sick, your hands are going into battle. Every time you bless somebody, your hands are going into battle. Every time that you wave your hands in worship and praise, you're going into battle, because it says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. Why? To bind their nobles with fetters of iron, praise God. You worship the Lord, I want to tell you, it releases angelic power. It energizes angelic power. They hearken unto the voice of God's Word. We sing God's Word. We praise the Lord of the Word. Amen? Amen. Our hands go into battle. Every time you wave a banner, don't play when you in the back when you're waving your banner. Don't just goof around with it. Don't play with it. Use it as a weapon. I mean, think about that. Worship with that banner. Use your hands. Just realize something's happening in the realm of the Spirit. God trains your hands for battle. Amen. Every good deed you turn for another person, your hands are being used in battle. It's wonderful. But a lot of Christians, they don't even know that. They don't even know their weapons. Anybody in here recognize the name Jessica Lynch? She was a little West Virginia girl that got captured by the Iraqis. And she was held until some elite Navy SEALs and some elite Marine recon and some elite Green Beret went in. And I want to tell you, the three elements of attack are speed and surprise and force or violence of action. And when they went in there, when they went in there to get that little girl out of that Iraqi hospital, they didn't go out. They went in there and they kicked rear end and took names later. And when they went in there, when they went in there to get that little girl out of that Iraqi hospital, they didn't go out. They went in there and they kicked rear end and took names later. Yeah. And that's the way you got to do the devil.
That's right.
You just go in. And pardon my down to earth talk. I hope there's nobody in here so religious that you this offends your ears. But you've got to be willing to kick butt and take names later. Okay. You've got to be nasty. You've got to be violent. Anything less than violence in this day and age is going to become a casualty. And so anyway, the thing about Jessica Lynch is she was captured and taken out of the 504th Maintenance Division out of Fort Hood, Texas. Now listen to this. The 504th Maintenance Company out of Fort Hood, Texas, well, to say that, let me say this. I'm sorry. I'm getting it scrambled up. In today's warfare in the natural, like in Iraq in 2003, everywhere is the front. It's not like it used to be in conventional warfare of the past where you had one army line up here and one army line up here and they went at each other. Everywhere is the front. Same thing in spiritual warfare. The front is no longer easily distinguishable. Therefore, every soldier better be prepared to fight. See, in the Marines, rifleman first, or you don't get to be a Marine. The first thing they teach you to be is a rifleman. But not all branches of the service are that way. Now listen to this. The 504th Maintenance Company out of Fort Hood, Texas, discovered this the hard way. 24 soldiers were ambushed. 16 were killed right on the spot in the kill zone. 8 others were carried off, including Jessica Lynch. So 16 were, 24 were attacked, 16 were killed right there, right in the kill zone, and 8 were carried off captive. Now, When they got there, when the American forces got there and discovered what had happened, they found the 16 dead bodies in the kill zone. 16 dead American soldiers. Of the 16 dead that were found in the kill zone, only one of these soldiers had a pile of empty brass around him. This one with the empty pile of brass around him, he's a man who unloaded his gun fighting. He was a seasoned sergeant. He was a sergeant with a warrior mentality and a working gun. 15 were dead, hadn't even fired their weapons. You know why? Their weapons didn't work. They were in these sandstorms. They only saw themselves as mechanics. They didn't see themselves as warriors. And that's the way I would say 15 out of 16 Christians in America today only see themselves as mechanics. They don't see themselves as warriors. You got to keep your weapon ready. You got to keep it clean. There was a book written, and then they made a movie called The Ghost in the Darkness. And it was about a British bridge builder, an engineer, who was sent to somewhere down in Africa, might have been Kenya, back in the early part of the 1900s, to build a bridge. And he went into this area, and the problem was, this is a true story, the problem was there were two man-eating lions that were killing all the native workers. And so they couldn't keep the workers on the job. And so they called in a specialist named Remington, who was a great hunter, to come in and take care of this lion problem. And at one point, they had the lions located in a small section of jungle. And all of the hunters, there were some Maasai hunters that had come to help, and they traveled with Remington. And the bridge builder was there, and a bunch of his other men, and they all surrounded this group of woods, and they were going to circle it and come in on it and drive the lions out so they could be shot by the men with the rifles. Well, just before they went to that situation, a friend had handed this bridge builder his rifle, and said, you ought to use this. And so he said, thank you, and he took the rifle. Well, he was the one the lions came out to. And when he put his gun up, shoot him, and went click. Click. Didn't work. And the lions got away. And Remington let him have it. He said, I can't believe that you went into battle with an untested gun. I can't believe that you went into battle with an untested gun. Don't you know any better than that? We have Christians all over the place who maybe will hear a little scripture, they'll hear a message like this, and they'll think, I'm going to do better, but they'll go back home and they'll just relax again, and they have untested scripture. Scripture won't work for you if you don't believe it. You can confess it all you want, and it won't work for you if you don't really believe it. You need to be in the scripture all the time. Let faith rise in your heart so that when you speak forth in authority, things happen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the good thing is the next thing he said to him. He said, well, boy, he said, they have a saying in prize fighting. Everybody's got a plan until they've been hit. You've just been hit. What you do about it's up to you. There's not one of us in here who hadn't been hit. We've had good plans, the best laid plans of mice and men. We've all been hit. What are you going to do about it? Get up and never again go into battle with an untested weapon. Don't be like these 15 who died in the kill zone. Be like that sergeant who went down firing. And I dare say that if his comrades, if his 15 buddies had all had the same mentality that he had, they'd have probably come out of that firefight living. Amen? So be determined that that's the way you're going to live your life. Spiritual warfare is a real thing. Don't ever be afraid of the devil. You've got the spirit of might. You've got the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, it's 5 minutes to nine. It's hard to stop. I can see why Brother Clement goes on and on. All this week I heard Brother Bill say, well, I really didn't mean to go this long. It just happens. you all will you'll pull the preach out of a stump. I mean, Glenn, I could take a big old cypress stump up here and sit it here, and I guarantee they'd pull the preach right out of it. Y'all are wonderful. You're just wonderful people. This pastor, a lot of his people were beginning to learn about the authority of the believer, and he wasn't quite sure about it. Do we really have the right to command devils? I mean, you've heard that old argument. I mean, after all, you know, it says in Jude that Michael himself wouldn't even speak to, he'd say, the Lord rebuke you. He wouldn't tell you. I've heard that used to say, oh, you don't have any right to demand the devil. I mean, even Michael didn't do that. Hey, listen, Michael and I are two different beings. I'm a son of God. I mean, Michael could pick me up and bench press me all day long, throw me over the moon. But Michael is an angel. He's a servant of God. I am too. But I'm a son of God, and so are you. You're a son and daughter of God. Jesus told us, He didn't tell Michael, but Jesus told us, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? So anyway, this pastor wasn't sure about this. And so one night he was laying in bed, and he woke up. It was dark in his room. And there coming through the bedroom door, the door was shut, but coming right through the door, were three evil spirits with capes over their head, kind of like the Grim Reaper. And they're coming towards him in the night. And he could see them in the spirit. I mean, they were coming towards him. He couldn't see their faces. It was just black back in there. No eyes. But they were coming towards him real slow across the room. Just three of them. Now imagine this. If you woke up in the middle of the night and this is... Three of these things are just coming across, caped, hooded, coming towards you. Praise God. If any of those fellas with those white hoods ever came towards her, I feel sorry for them.
They get the same thing. The blood of Jesus.
Well, these three demons are coming towards this pastor. Now, Mildred, he doesn't believe that you have authority. This pastor doesn't believe you have authority. And now he's got three demons coming in on him. And so he remembers what some of his people in the church had said. They said that I have authority over the devil. He went, in the name of Jesus. And they just kept coming. He said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. They kept coming. He raised up on his elbow. He said, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. They kept coming. Finally, he got mad and he said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my bedroom. Poof, they went up in three puffs of smoke. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke up and said, now that's the spirit of might.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Spirit of might doesn't hanky-panky around. Amen. And He's in us.
Amen. Yes.
And as He is, so are we in this world. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, praise God. See, the devil knows that he cannot beat the Word of God. And he knows he cannot whip you if you're on the Word of God. But he's convinced that he can get you off of the Word. You got to show him he can't. He's not going to get me off of the Word. He ever does, I'm dead meat. But he's not going to get me off the Word, sister. I mean, that's my life. That's my breath. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let your eyes stop looking at them. I'm paraphrasing. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest before Him, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That word naked and opened, that word open in the Greek means laid bare. And if you look it up, if you dig it out, it means with head thrown back and neck exposed. You use the Word of God as a weapon on the enemy and it throws that rascal's head back and exposes his neck. And man, when you've got your enemy's neck exposed, you can do anything to it you want. He's been going around putting his foot on our necks. We need to put our feet on his neck. We have the authority as Christians, praise God. But it's the Word of God. It's the Word. The Word is what's full of life and power. So don't let the devil get you off of the Word. And then Douglas MacArthur said this. Two more points. Thank you for hanging with me. This is my last shot at you for a while, so I... Listen to this. I love military men, military quotes. Douglas MacArthur. I know he had his... he had his things. A lot of people don't give him any credit today, but he was still, to me, man was an ultimate warrior. He had medals galore even before World War II came into being. I mean, this guy was a warrior. As a young man, he was quite a guy. I love Douglas MacArthur. See? I love him. I wish we had generals and leaders in the Army now that had his mindset. There'd be no communism. There'd be no communisms throughout China right now if they'd have listened to Douglas MacArthur. There'd have been no communism up in Russia had they listened to George Patton. Those men knew what was coming. They might have been, they might have lived bigger than life. But listen, in order to lead men, sometimes to animate them, you've got to be bigger than life. Nobody's going to follow a pansy. I'm not. That's why I stayed out of church till I was 22. All I saw behind the pulpit were pansies. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. Heard Derek Prince say one time, he said, and this is no put down on the elderly at all, men or women, but he's talking about how a young man looks at church. And he said, the reason we have so many old ladies in the pews, very few men, is because we have so many old ladies in the pulpits. And he's not talking about ladies. He's talking about men who are effeminized. Men who don't have the spirit of might in them at all. They just get pushed around by every special interest group, and every threat from the politicians, and pushed around by the Jezebels in their church. No wonder our teenage boys are going out and finding pleasure everywhere else. They're not finding it in church. But that's changing. Praise God. I can remember when I first saw Kenneth Copeland. I found out that man was a barroom brawler before he got saved. That's why he's an airplane pilot. That guy used to sing in nightclubs. I used to play guitar in clubs. I want to tell you, I saw somebody I could identify with. And he had a face that looked... I heard Jerry Savelle say one time that if Kenneth Copeland and his mama ever stared at each other long enough, they'd knock each other right flat on their backs. I mean, he's got eyes like eagles that if you ever had Kenneth Copeland stare at you, I mean, it peels the paint off the wall. That's not just a physical thing. That's a spiritual authority that comes out of there. You can look at demons, bless God, and they're afraid of your look, your glance. Charles Finney had it. He was in that factory. And this woman snickered at him as he was being toured through this factory one day. And he just stopped and he looked at her. And she just started weeping. And before long, hundreds of people in that factory were on their knees getting saved. I wonder if there's a spiritual authority. The Bible says a man's wisdom makes his face to shine. I don't know about you, but I want my face to shine. And I know it's going to come from Him who is wisdom, Jesus Christ. Amen? So praise the Lord for that. This is what Douglas MacArthur said. The history of failure in warfare can be summed up in two words. Too late. Too late in comprehending the deadly purpose of an enemy. Too late in realizing the mortal danger. Too late in preparedness. Too late in standing with one's friends. And too late in uniting all possible forces for resistance. It's time for us to stop being too late. It's time for us to unite all possible forces for resistance. If the United States... If the nations of the world won't do it to stop Islam, let's get the church together in prayer and in intercession and we'll stop Islam. Amen? If nobody else will do it, the church coming together and uniting all possible forces together for resistance, we'll stop witchcraft in this nation. We'll stop abortion in this nation. We'll stop all of this garbage in this nation. But we won't if we don't come together. We just won't do it. And then finally, Joab told his brother, Abishai, when they were getting ready to go out against the enemy, play the man. Play the man. That's old English for be courageous. Let's be courageous. That's right. Let's be courageous. Let's go fight for our God. That's one of my favorite Old Testament stories about playing the man. Let's be courageous. Listen to this. And I'll close with this. Somebody says, yeah, I'll bet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Playing the man. Playing the man. We got to play the man. Got a couple quotes and then I'm closing with that. Are you still there? You're doing, I tell you, this has been a marathon week. I'll be praying for you in July because you're going to be doing it again. Especially you workers. My hat's off to all of you workers. We couldn't do what we do if you all weren't the armed support. You all are just awesome. I would take you anywhere to help me do anything, because I know you all know how to get the job done. Hats off to you, Glenn. You've trained them well. Patty and Kevin, you've trained them well. You got good folks here. All together, we're going to play the man. We're going to play the man, aren't we? We're going to be courageous. Bob Dylan, of all people, said this. I think a hero is someone who understands the degree of responsibility that comes with his freedom. Are you free in Christ? Then you're a hero if you understand the degree of responsibility that you now have. Maintain your freedom and help others get free. Winston Churchill, one of my favorite, I love his quotes. He said, success is never final. And failure is never fatal.
Amen.
It's courage that counts. Thomas Carlyle said this, the courage we desire and prize is not the courage to die decently, but to live manfully. Another man said this, and his name was William Shakespeare. Courage mounteth with occasion. The occasion is now here for us to rise in courage.
Amen.
Amen. Andrew Jackson, Andy Jackson, said this, one man with courage makes a majority. So let's be courageous, brothers and sisters. We're not far from home. Would you stand on your feet? I think that it would be proper for us to all gather up here to the front together and ask the Lord to give us a brave heart. Not that He hasn't already offered it to us, but you know, there's an anointing, there's an impartation that comes. So could you all kind of come up, and we'll close tonight with just maybe joining hands in a big circle. Some of you might have to stay back behind maybe the second row of seats and come around so that there'll be room enough for everybody to get in here. And you've already had a lot of ministry, and I don't feel like my job tonight. You might, like I said, you might have to make that side of the circle back there behind a couple of seats. You know what I mean? Yeah. We do this at our Monday night intercessory prayer meeting a lot of times, and I want to tell you, holding hands briefly, and there's a dynamic released in this.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've just felt the power of God sweep around the circle like electricity.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we got people falling out. Demons come out of some people. Mostly would just fall out because so many of our folks have had deliverance. And I'm not saying, I'm not advocating falling out, but you don't know what the Lord does sometimes. I mean, the power of God just comes. One woman one night got hit by the power of God, and she literally felt the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in her body. And it hurt, but it didn't hurt. You know, it burns, but it doesn't burn. And it changed her life. We need courage. We need a brave heart. Lord, give me a brave heart.
Yeah.
Just tell the Lord to give you a brave heart.
I need a brave heart.
A brave heart, Father. Lord, give us a brave heart. More courage. Thank you for the spirit of might. We want your courage. We want your courage, Lord. We're not done yet. We've got a whole lot more to do. And we have your courage. We thank you for it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
you.
Yes, Lord.
In the name
more,
of Jesus,
more of
God,
you. Inspiration
yes.
every day.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Inspiration
yes, Lord.
To deliver, to set
yes,
free, to do the work
yes.
of Jesus.
Lord, we pray for courage to break from religious tradition
yes.
and to shatter the callous code.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for the toughness that we're going to need in the days to come to face the wrath of the enemy in whatever form that it comes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that courage is a quality not easily defined and not easily found. But Lord, when we have it, it's going to be easily recognized.
Amen.
Courage is the most basic human virtue, affirming all others. Only people who are prepared to do unpopular things and defy the disapproval and clamor of a gutless and comfortable people will be fit to be restoration men and women in the last days. Courage to obey God in the little things creates courage to obey Him in the big ones. Courage attracts the Holy Spirit just as fear attracts the devil. Courage has an odor. It attracts the things of God. It attracts the Holy Spirit. Fear has an odor, and it attracts flies. We want courage, Lord. When the Holy Spirit responds to courage, He adds His own mettle and insight to the equation, making it possible to know and do what otherwise would be impossible. Courage is not the absence of fear in a crisis situation, but it is the quality of spirit that enables us to face down our fears, to face down our foes, to scale the insurmountable, achieve the impossible, defeat the indomitable, or die trying.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, this is what we want. We want courage. And we thank You, Lord, that You said that this is the confidence that we have in You, that if we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us. And if we know You hear us, in whatever we ask, we know we have the petition we desire of You. So I want to thank You tonight, Lord God,
yes, Lord.
That we have the courage
yes.
to complete our mission.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.